We thank you that you're a moving God. You're a changing God. You are excited about what you're doing in each and every one of us. And I pass that excitement on to your spirit that we flow with what you're doing. As you see on the PowerPoint, I have a line coming out of the cave. That's the line of Judah, and he lives in you if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he says, I want to emerge out of you and bring forth your potential to its full and everything that has held you back to drop at Jesus' feet. So I'm talking about today the kingdom of change. Change happens every minute. Whether we are flowing with it or not, the sunset is fresh every night. There's a new sunrise every morning. Things are changing. Now, if we're flowing with his kingdom of change, we're becoming more like him every day. If we're not flowing with his kingdom of change, we're either stagnating or going backwards. You can't stay there very long without going backwards. You're either going forward or you're stuck or you're decreasing and you're losing your inheritance. And I can tell by the looks of your face, you want everything God has for you, don't you? All of us do. So I love this picture that Craig introduced some time ago, a contemporary picture of Jesus running out of the tomb. I love it. And he wants us, there's a hole in his feet, holes in his hands. His wounds now release the glory of God. All of us have wounds. All of us have unmet needs. But he says, if you will emerge and change with me, my glory will be released through those wounds. And I am ready to emerge, are you not? Out into the training to embrace the training he has for us. When we receive him as our Savior, we've taken one step into our journey. And the rest of the journey is training to look like him. Sometimes there's a flow. I love the presence of God today, didn't you? Sometimes there's a flow and we can drift and flow with him. Sometimes it's hard and we have to push and refocus. Either, whichever it is, we are either being made like him or we are getting stuck and going backwards. So let's move forward to be released from the things that have bound us. All of us have the thing that ignites us and makes us feel close to God. If you've heard me speak very many times, you know that it's the galaxies, it's the stars, it's the sky that reminds me that my God's awesome, that my God is awesome. And as I look and I see my God reigns, he paid the price on the cross. He faced every demon that's available any place around us or in hell, and he got the victory. And Father said, now I give all authority to you, and you reign above all of the earth and the universe and all of the powers. Now, if he is your Savior, we are to remember from Colossians 1 that all things were created through him and for him. That's why we're here. He did it all. It was through him and for him. Why are you living? Are you living for yourself? Then you need to change your focus. You are to be living for him, not for yourself. If you're living for yourself, you're going to get stuck, and before long, you're going to go backwards. You've got to do it through him. It is Galatians 2:20. I no longer live, but he lives in me. Ladies and gentlemen, I looked for that truth for 20 years of my Christian life. I was saved. I was going to heaven, but I knew there was something more, and I didn't know what it was. And when I finally discovered, I was trying to live this life that's impossible. It has to be through Him and for Him. And He holds it all together. When you stare into the skies, if you tried to count all the stars in our galaxy alone, and you counted continually as fast as you could not count all of them in our galaxy alone. And there's hundreds of billions of other galaxies that He's ruling and reigning over. And He lives in you. Why would we trust anything other than Him? He's got it all in His hands. He says, the only thing is I need your heart. I need you to trust me to live through you and for me, because I hold all of this together. If He stopped holding it 1 minute, we'd be toast. He's holding it all together all of the times. What a God we serve. It's so easy to look at the things that bother us, that we get under, we get hopeless, we feel bad about. But if we turn around and change our focus and focus on the God that is in control, all He's wanting is for us to partner with Him. He could snap His finger and change anything, anytime, but He's more concerned about changing us into His image and us learning to trust Him, that it's all through Him and for Him and about Him, knowing Him. That's why we're alive. So I started learning, and I'm still learning it with great intensity. I know I have not arrived. Started learning 40-some years ago that it's walking in His presence as a way of life. Just conversating with Him, talking with Him. He's your best friend. He's who you've been looking for. We think we're looking for a perfect mate, perfect children, perfect this, perfect that. And it really helps the more devoted they are to God. It makes it easier and it flows better. But none of us have arrived. None of us are perfect. It's Him that we're looking for. And as we behold Him, walk in His presence, we become like Him. That's 2 Corinthians 3:18. What you behold, what you focus on, is what you're going to look at. If you're looking at your problems, you're going to be sucked alive and the life drained out of you. You've got to focus back on the one and the only one that has life and has it abundantly. All of us came into this world, as this PowerPoint shows, with a heart that's black. Even those sweet little babies got a black heart. Now, they're not held accountable to that till the age of accountability, but they still are only concerned about yourself. Has your little baby ever said, Mom, I know you haven't had any sleep tonight. Just let me kick and play in here for a while, and I will not cry because I know you need some sleep. I don't know a baby that does that. That baby did have packed in its spirit everything it needs, but it needs to be activated. The soul is wiped clean, and it learns what it can do to control, manipulate, and get its way. And it learns if it cries loud enough, hard enough, that you're going to jump and take care of its needs. So it thinks, this is a pretty good plan. I know how to manipulate people, how to get my needs met. And so we all come into this world with a black heart that is self-centered, filled up with self. And then when we become God conscious and we receive Jesus Christ into our Savior, He gives us a new heart. And that new heart gives us a ticket into heaven. But that new heart has to be activated, it has to be released, and it is a long It is a long obedience in the same direction, which is the Christian life. It's neat when you get a prophetic word, as we got this morning, that encourages our hearts. But you've got to receive it, and you've got to believe it, and you've got to have the long obedience in the same journey to trust God to walk it out. He can slay you in the spirit, and that can be very real. But when you get up, that was a jump start to let you have a long obedience in the same direction of trusting Him when it's not easy. It's wonderful to flow when it flows. But when you don't feel the flow, to know that it's flowing for you to become a partner, to learn to push and rule and reign with Him. Because only what you get authority over in your life gives you the power to speak to that in other people's lives. So, I shared last week that I'm a strong-willed person. Kind of rebellious and not kind of pretty when I'm holding this black heart. And get aggravated because people don't do what they're supposed to do. And decide, no, I can fix them. Straighten them out, bless them out, do something. Make them do it right. And I shared that what we come into agreement with this black heart, if we don't repent of it, it will swallow us alive. And I shared with you that I came into agreement with the enemy and spoke a declaration over my life about the day I was getting married. And it drove me for 28 years. I didn't know what was driving me. But what we come into agreement with, the scriptures calls it making a vow or an oath. Whatever you come into agreement with will control you and drive you until you repent of it and let God change it. And so it's exciting to begin to realize how, for instance, you can even make the oath I made or the promise I made was a bad one. But you can even make a good one. Did you know you can make a good one? You could say, it's not right to ever for a man to ever hit a woman. That's a good thing. Man should not hit a woman. But if he's not doing it, let's go back to this picture in his presence. If you're doing it in his presence, led by God, it's a good thing. But if you're doing it from this heart, this black heart, you're driven wrongly and you're putting yourself and the other person in bondage. One man said that his mother taught him well, don't hit a woman, don't raise your voice, don't lose your temper, and he did it. But he was doing it out of the black heart. And he didn't have freedom with his wife because he was driven by the wrong heart. So it's important that we are getting in touch with what God's saying and we're walking in his presence. Because it's only his presence breaks the power of sin. All of us have the disposition or nature of sin when we come into this world. And the only antidote for it is being in his presence. And as we're in his presence, led by his spirit, then the sins, S-I-N-S, are taken care of. Because he knows what to deal with us. We get focused on the sins. Stop that behavior. Don't be an alcoholic. And a man might say, I'm not going to be an alcoholic. My dad was an alcoholic and that brought pain into our life. That's a good thing not to be an alcoholic. But if you're doing it in your own strength, you will simply switch addictions. But if you say, God, I repent of my tendency of addictions, and I lay it at your feet. And I'm going to walk in your spirit, because while I'm walking in your spirit, you say, I am perfect. Does it mean you've matured? Does it mean you've arrived? No. You're in process. But while you're in his presence, you are perfect, because his presence breaks the power of everything else. And then as he's changing you, he shows you what to deal with next. Now, I want to share with you just a moment. For change to happen, it has to start inside us. It has to start with what heart we're trusting. And God is calling us for the change to be a discipline of love. Who likes to say, hey, I would like to be disciplined? Does anybody say, yeah, me, right now? I can remember picking our sons up at their school, and they knew they were in trouble, and they wanted me to immediately say what the ramifications were going to be. And I knew I had to work of getting out of my black heart that just wanted to beat the tar out of them and get into his heart to get his perspective. And I'd say, I've got to pray about it. Now, I don't know what they thought about that, but I know that when I was learning that truth, I shared it with someone. I said, whatever discipline that God would have me to release must be from his heart, not my mad heart. And that person said, if I waited until I was mad, I could never discipline them. And I thought, okay, got a lot to learn there, because we do not discipline out of anger or out of fear or out of a desire to fix. We hear God's heart for that person, and then we share with them. So I want to share with you from the message from Hebrews 12. Says, my dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline. But don't be crushed by it either. It's the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. He's treating you as dear children. The trouble you are in isn't punishment. It's training. We're training to be partners of the Most High God. The normal experience of children, that's the normal experience of children, should be. Only irresponsible parents leave children to fend for themselves. Would you prefer an irresponsible God? We respect our own parents for training and not spoiling us, so why not embrace God's training so we can truly live? While we're children, our parents did what seemed best to them. Were any of them perfect, or any of us perfect? No. But most of us are doing what seems best to us, training us to live God's holy best. At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off handsomely, for it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in the relationship with God. That's what we are aiming for, ladies and gentlemen, is maturity. God says, I want you to grow up. I want you to look like my son. I want you to act like my son. I want you to release the image I've planted in you. And so as we move forward, it's sobering to realize that I must not give in to my flesh, and I must not give in to another's flesh. I was just conversating with somebody that I trusted not long ago, kind of rehearsing a set of circumstances, and made the comment, you know, I could have done so and so and so and so, and it would have turned out different. And this person hears from God, and she said, do you know what God just said to what you said? I said, no, what was it? He said, yes, you could have done that, and you would have created a bastard. an illegitimate son of God. That broke my heart. We have the power to aid and abet somebody else's flesh. And when we do it, we are an accomplice. And we will give an account for it. So we're not to walk in our own flesh. And we're not to aid and abet anybody else's flesh, no matter how much we love them. Because just as if somebody is robbing a bank and you didn't go in and use the gun and get the cash, but you drove the getaway car, you're an accomplice. So if you are an accomplice to somebody else's flesh, repent and turn from it and love them enough to operate under the discipline of love. I love you so much, I want to share with you how God convicts me. Oswald Chambers' comment several years ago started correction in me. And his this quote says, "Our Heavenly Father has an amazing sense of humor. He will bring across your path the kind of people who manifest to you what you've been to Him. If you've been obstinate, that's why you have got that fellow around you just now." And Jesus says, "Show him the attitude I showed you." Many, many years ago, there was someone in my life that I couldn't get away from, and I knew I had to deal with it. And every time I would pray, "God, change this person. It's causing chaos, frustration, aggravation. They're in the flesh. Change them." And he said, "Let's start with you. You have some of the same traits that person has. And if you don't deal with them, you're going to end up just like them." "Oh no, God, I don't want to be like that." "Okay, let's start with you." And he and I'd think, "Okay, God, we got a lot of work to do." And it went on years. I'm not going to tell you how many years because it might discourage you. But it took a lot of years for him to break and crush and get out of me the things that he needed out. One day he spoke to me so clearly. It wasn't an audible voice, but it could have been. And he said, "I'm through using them in your life." And I thought, wow, what does that mean? Have you ever got a prophetic word and you think you know what it means? That was a prophetic word from God, and I thought I knew what it meant. But I chewed on it for 3 days and decided they must be going to die. That's the only way he can keep from using them in my life anymore. And I went on and on and on, and they didn't die. I checked a word out with somebody else, and they said, "Yeah, sounds to me like that's probably what's going to happen." But they didn't. And it took days and weeks and years for God to expand what he was saying to me. And finally he expanded it. "I'm through using them in your life." Then he finished it. "To expose your flesh. Now you're strong enough to draw a line and no longer contribute to their darkness, but speak the truth in love and not sacrifice righteousness for peace." Was it easy? No. But it was God's way and God's will, and praise his name for it. So I share that with you to say that we do not have God's perspective with somebody that you dislike very much, like I did that person. It may take shedding some tears, seeing his heart of love for them. And there's some people it's just hard to love. And so you have to stay in his presence to see his heart for them, because he died for them just like he did you. And so can you begin to feel love for them that he does? See that they have potential just like you do? And see that he died on the cross for them just like he did you. That takes some time with some people, doesn't it? To get to that place where you can love them like that. But it's his heart to use you and I. He could zap everybody on earth, but he wants to do a work in us as he's working through us. And it's not only for that other person, but it's for us. Now, let's talk about how he, in closing this up, brings us not only from the inside, but working with people on the outside. He has his umbrella of protection. And the way we respond to authority, according to Romans 13, 1 through 5, is the way we respond to God. And I have shared with you before that I did not understand that this is for his protection. And when I respond to his framework, I'm responding to him. And that I didn't know that. It was 1970 that I did not know that God had appointed my father in an office of being the head of the family until I was very, very old. And I didn't like many of his ways, and I didn't respect his office. And when I understood that, I repented and asked his forgiveness. Now, he didn't know what I was apologizing for because he thought I was a perfect, obedient child because I didn't dare let him know my rebellion because I know I would have gotten the way beat out on me. So he didn't know what was underneath there. And I repented and realized that I had robbed myself and him from many years of sweet fellowship because I didn't know the way I respond to those in authority over me is the way I respond to God. Now, God upped the ante when he started this church through my son Craig. But you see, I cannot think of him as my son Craig. I have to think of him as the apostle that God chose to start this church. And Ephesians talks about that his job is to bring us all to maturity, and he uses the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the evangelists, and the teachers. And just like when Craig came here, God gave him a vision and told him what he wanted to do here. And those of you that went through the Growth Institute when I was teaching it years ago, you know that our vision at that time was seeing that God was going to establish pastors in many different counties. And just like the word I got years ago, I'm through using that person in your life. That was a true word. It was an accurate word. But things change, the seasons, and he expands and broadens when we are at a place that we can accept it. And so that was the vision for this church at that time. And you know we worked very, very hard, and God said, good job. You did what I asked you to do. But then, 2 years ago, about this time, he said, okay, I'm ready to change. I'm ready to expand the vision and show you something that you couldn't have embraced at the time. But now you are maturing enough and you're willing to submit to my training enough to know that when this apostle tells you to do something, you're responding to me, God. So that when my son told me years ago, you're to do what I'm doing now, it violated scripture in my life that I'd learned. And he was a true apostle. He said, work it out for yourself. And I fell before God and said, God, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I will obey you, but you've got to show me the truth. And within 1 month, he showed me that I had believed error, and I wasn't out of his will because I was at a place of having my vision expanded. But he was faithful. The only thing that never changes is the cross and the character of God. And if you have any questions about that, there's a little book out there about it. But then, as God says, now I'm expanding the vision of relationship church. And I still don't know how all the pieces fit together. But I do know God knows. And he says, you're no longer doing what I said you would do before. The way I said you would do it before, I'm restructuring. I'm restructuring. And as you obey the apostle, you are obeying me. And now, as clearly as we can see, and he's always giving us new glasses, new heart, new vision, and expanding it, it's that we are a hub, an international hub of having influence around the nations as well as Northwest Georgia in a different way than we expected. Now, the test for each one of us is as things change, as the seasons are different, most of us don't like change unless we're in control of that change. But Isaiah 57:12 says, thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. Contrite means I'm teachable. I don't know it all. I'm teachable. I'll follow God's hand according to his framework and his structure. I thought I knew a lot, but I'm finding don't know as much as thought I did. I will be teachable and humble. And God says he will revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. From the message it says, I'm with those who are crushed. What are we being crushed of? Our way. Our vision. To embrace his way and his vision. We're being crushed and we're being humbled to say, God, you're God, I'm not. I will renew the spirit of those who are humble and the courage of those who are crushed. And as we do that, we can realize that no matter how much we think we know and understand, I just got from a prophet a year ago that an angel appeared to him and said, you think you know a lot, don't you? You know only one. If you knew everything that is knowable on this earth, you would only know 1% of what's available. We're going to be learning and changing and expanding for our whole time on earth, and for all eternity, we're going to be discovering our God. So when you think you've got it, say, I need to be humbled. I need to be crushed a little bit more. Because God's ways are just too big for me to find out. Now, there's always a narrow road tension as we walk with the Word of God on one side of the road and the Holy Spirit on the other. He will let it flow according to our needs and our gifts. But you operate within the framework that he has set unless the authority asks you to violate God's word or your conscience. And if you need more on that, read Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But otherwise, know that God is on the move. I challenge us in closing now to look at the two pictures. The one on the left, every one of us have wounds, have unmet needs, and we believe lies about ourselves. The enemy's told us, you're not worth anything. Who do you think you are? Most of the time, not so much. Sometimes, before I start to speak, the enemy says, you're just up there flapping your lips. You don't have anything to say. Won't you just sit down and be quiet? And I've had to learn No, as long as the apostles still ask me to teach, I must have something to say. So, if there is a lie that you are believed and that you are regularly tormented with, I'm not worthy, I'm not as beautiful or as handsome as the next one, there's something wrong with me that is going to rob me of my inheritance, that's a lie that the enemy's put on you because he can't get to Jesus. And the only way he can get to him is through you, to try to rob, steal, and destroy from you. So whatever lies, whatever crippling you've had, let's today take them off and let him put the robe of righteousness on us, walking in his presence. How do you do that? Number one, you go into his presence in the way that you best relate to him. Whether it's out under the starry skies, or whether it's remembering a time when he touched you and you knew his love, you go back to that. And you say, Jesus, hold me tight. This memory, this lie that's coming to me, that cripples me, that has robbed and stolen from me, I now invite you into that memory. I invite you into that lie. And I ask you to come into it and to take the evil out and the bad out and to bring healing. Recently, as I was wrestling with something, God, could I have done something different? Could I have done something better? He said, no, you're not perfect, but you did what I ask you to do. You just got to know you're not God. And that comforted me as I was in his presence. So whatever you need, as you invite him in, he will meet you there. And then you say, okay, I forgive this person. I forgive myself for believing this lie and be driven by the blackness of my heart and my rebellion and my lack of teachableness. And now I trust you to live in and through me as we walk forward being clothed with your righteousness in that long obedience in the same direction, doing exactly what Paul said in Philippians 3:14. I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. And as you do that, you are letting him squeeze your heart, whatever way he does, because you know your identity's in him, not what you're doing, not your role, not your office, not your assignment, not your status, not where you live, not the clothes you have. Your identity is in him and knowing him. And you let him squeeze off of you everything that keeps you from the solidity and the security of walking with him. I love this picture of this brick yellow path. I think of that as his presence. And as they were walking in his presence to him, there are green pastures that he will meet our needs, whether we feel like he's meeting them or not. So I challenge you, welcome change. Know the God who never changes is in control. And he can be trusted. And he loves you. So welcome it. And emerge to your full inheritance, letting him be all you've called him to be. Let me pray for you. Father God, I thank you that you've packed into each person within the sound of my voice everything in their spirit that they need to be successful, to have victory, and to live the life abundant, and to rule and reign with you. Father God, I now pray that they will give precedent to their spirit and say, soul, be still, and interpret what the Spirit's saying, because we're running forward and we're moving And we're going to bring glory to God and the kingdom of heaven to earth, making the kingdom of God visible and tangible to everybody around us. Because what you have victory over in your life, you have power over in other people's lives. So, Father, I thank you that we can now run forward with you with purpose and with excitement, watching your hand move. And I pray protection and blessing and hope over everyone in the sound of my voice, that you run hard and you live dangerously with God. In Jesus' name, amen.